Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, ho-hum. Just another 400 yards passing for you. They're just one after the other. I guess you're going to run the table with 400-yard passing games.
I wouldn't get ahead of ourselves. It's been nice the last 2 weeks, but that's hard to do. Yeah, hard
imagine,
to do.
Imagine next week you throw for like 350 and people say, oh, you suck. He's losing it.
That would be awesome. I'd be okay with that.
Hey, from a distance, Matt, that game had a playoff look to it. You know, your second effort on the quick sneak, the headbutting going back to the huddle, Light and Crowder's little dust-up, Randy Moss lowering his shoulder to get into the end zone. It looked like a playoff game. Did it feel like one?
It was. There was a lot of intensity out there. There was a lot of energy. Guys were getting after each other pretty good. And not to mention it was a division game, and we knew it was a must-win game for us. And just the guys came out and knew that we had to play well, and they did.
What goes on before a game like this? We were all saying all week, your season is on the line. You lose this, you're two games back, you will have lost two to a division rival. You would have had a lot of ground to make up. Did you talk about that before the game? Did you guys understand the significance of this game more than any other regular season game?
I think everybody understood the implications. We didn't really talk about it in that regard. We didn't say our season's on the line, we have to. But everybody pretty much understood what was at stake, and we took the approach of knowing that the importance of this game was to go out, and we had to win it. And so everybody knew what was at stake, though.
Plus, you knew what Joey Porter said about you, right?
I don't know. I don't listen to that guy much, to be completely honest.
Was he yapping out there yesterday?
Oh, yeah, nonstop.
Yeah?
He's quite a piece of work.
Well, what kind of stuff does he say to you individually?
Is it vulgar?
Oh, no, you know, it's just your typical stuff, you know, let you know how bad you are, and that just goes with the territory.
But what happens when you guys get a, you know, lead, 41, 28 games out of reach? Do you talk back to him at that point?
I try not to. I try not to get involved too much, you know, and he just, you know, he does what he does, and that's part of his game, and he's a great player, and I've got a lot of respect for him, but, you know, that's what he chooses to do.
I guess players and teams, Matt, gain or gather motivation from wherever they need to gather it. He does it by yapping. You guys were talking about the fact that this was an important game for you. How much did the embarrassment of the Week 3 loss to them motivate your guys' preparation this week to not let this happen again, being the competitive group that you are?
There was some, obviously, competitiveness and motivation from what they were able to do against us that in Week 3, because I think everybody as a team didn't feel like we put out our best effort and wanted to go down there and show everybody that we can play better, and we were able to do that.
Do you know how many tackles Joey Porter had?
I have no clue.
You were the victim of it. He had one.
I was the victim of his tackles?
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, you were the guy. He got one. One tackle. And it wasn't a very hard sack. I don't think that was not the one that hurt. You obviously took some shots, as everyone did in that game, but when he sacked you, he just kind of got you with one arm and got you down. But that was the only tackle he had, which is a tribute, I guess.
Right. The offensive line did a great job all day. Those guys really came to play, and especially after that first game when that defensive line's a good physical group for them, and the offensive line really stepped up to the challenge. Everybody across the board did a great job.
Hey, Matt, did you have a good look or a good listen to what went on between Light and Crowder, what started that whole thing and how that escalated into the Three Stooges pounding him on top of the head while he was holding his head?
I really have no clue how it all came about or how it escalated to the point that it did. I was on the sideline when it actually happened because it was a field goal.
Yeah.
You know, and most of the time there's a little bit of jibber-jabbering going on with the big guys, you know, up front, and you just don't pay much attention to it. And then all of a sudden, I guess it just exploded, and I have no clue really what went on or what was said, but I'm sure frustration levels got increased throughout the game, and it just reached a point of no return.
Hey, Matt, this is the question, in some form or fashion, you've been asked a lot, and I'd like to see if you could expand on this to maybe two or three items. And they are, what are the two or three items, the two or three things that are different about Matt Castle, the quarterback now, that didn't exist 2 months ago? And I know in the paper this morning you talked a little bit about the speed of the game, but there has to be more to it than that when you go out and do back-to-back 400-yard performances.
Well, I think it's the speed of the game kind of starts to slow down for you. The comfort level, obviously. I understand my role as a leader on this team now, where at first you're trying to form your own identity away from what had established and kind of be your own guy. Mm-hmm. And at first, you know, it's hard to do that when you step in for a guy that's done what Tom's done here. And so for me, it was just trying to go into that locker room and prove to those guys that I can play and establish my role as a leader. So that's another thing. And then also as we mature as an offense throughout a season, and the coaches get more comfortable with me and give me more responsibility and I have more confidence in what I'm doing, then I think we're able to do more offensively.
Is it safe to say that you're more comfortable now making your reads, looking at your progressions, and keeping your eyes downfield, even in the face of pressure, as opposed to taking your eyes off the target and looking at the guys who are coming at you?
It's safe to say that there were times, I think, earlier in the season where that I might have tucked it away a little bit too early or maybe not have kept a play alive when I'm outside the pocket.
Right.
When I break outside the pocket and I see a receiver downfield. So it's safe to say there's more of that going on just because, you know, as you play, you start to understand that there's little things that you work on during practice that you're able to take over into the game.
One of those seemed pretty evident, and I don't know if you recall it because it wasn't one of the, you know, pin-perfect touchdown passes or perfect touchdown passes. It was at the end of the first half just before the Moss touchdown to make it 17-14, and you were nearly sacked. You got out of the sack, kind of moved, avoided some pressure, and hit Kevin Falk for kind of a 7-yard gain that otherwise would have been a loss. Was that a satisfying play for you, Matt?
I hardly remember.
Really?
It, but yes, because you're talking about it right now, it was so satisfying. It was awesome.
Was that when Channing Crowder pancaked you? I mean, you got stuck, and I think you frustrated them at that point. They were like, what do we have to do to sack this guy? You not only got rid of the ball, but you completed it to Falk.
Right.
Well, I like that. I like that. I don't remember it probably because Crowder hit me a little bit harder than I anticipated, so
right.
I don't remember. Sometimes my memory gets jogged.
Hey, Dan Dierdorf said that you told him that there are no called running plays for you, that QB draw is just a play that you see, a decision you make on the fly. Is that true, that there's nothing called for you?
Well, going into this week, we didn't have anything called for me, and also we haven't had anything called, and going into the red zone this week, we thought maybe if they gave us a certain coverage that I could make a play with my legs because of the fact that they didn't really take into account what me as a runner. So that was what happened on that run. But going into this week, we really haven't had any called or designed runs for me. It's just all been on the fly.
So who knows that you're taking on the QB draw, the touchdown? Who knows you're tucking it and run? Just you, or does Copen know? Or does
I think everybody had an idea if we get that that look. That I was, and they did what we thought they were going to do. I was going to take off and try to score.
Hey, Matt, you mentioned your role and responsibility on this team and how it's changed, and you've sort of identified what it is and what they want you to do. Does your relationship change with the guys? And I don't mean personal relationship and whether you're friendly or not friendly with individuals, just in terms of how they treat you, how you interact with them, if not necessarily in the huddle but in practice, now that they know that you can play at this level and you can lead this team to the playoffs. Has the relationship at all changed?
It changes, I think, a little bit. Whenever you come into this type of position, you have to prove to them that one, that you can play, and two, you have to earn their respect mm-hmm. by doing it consistently, especially with a veteran group like we have. You know, the offensive line from the running backs to the receivers are all veteran guys. So at first they're looking at you saying, can you lead us? And then once you're able to do it and win some games and establish some consistency, then of course your role changes because they listen when you talk and you're able to establish that leadership role.
How do you know specifically that you have earned their respect? Are things said? Is it just the way they respond to you? How do you know?
I think it's more of a response than it is anything else. Mm-hmm. Just how they respond to you in the huddle and how they respond to you during practice. And there's just a common respect for everybody on that team, but especially from me to those guys. And I feel it coming back from them.
Hey, Randy said after the game that the Dolphins disrespected him by only putting one guy on him in single coverage most of the game. Does he really believe that's disrespect? Or is he just using that to sort of fire himself up?
I don't really know. You know, anytime we say single coverage with Randy Moss, it's a good matchup for us because he's such a special player. So I don't know how he wants to classify it, but the more single coverage, the better.
Did your week of preparation include thinking they might single coverage him, or were you surprised when you saw the tactic they were taking with Moss?
You know, the first game they did play a little bit of single coverage on him, But this game, as we went into the second half, we saw a lot more because they figured that they were going to have to start pressuring us in order to get to us a little bit. So we got a little bit more single coverage in the second half, which worked out in our favor.
You know, we fans and media often make a big deal out of drops and say, oh, that, you know, Gaffney dropped that. That's too bad for Castle. But how many times does Moss or any of you guys make catches that you didn't expect them to make? Do you throw a ball and you say, well, that's probably not a completion, and somehow Moss pulls it down? Your 30 completions, how many times that happened?
I'm sure it happens a lot. I mean, you throw these guys are all special players across the board. We've got so many talented guys at the receiver position and even the running back position. Our skill players can make plays all the time. And so while, yeah, Jabbar might drop a ball, might have dropped that ball early, he comes back and makes, you know, 8 spectacular plays and breaks tackles and keeps fighting, and that's going to happen. There's many times when these guys get open and I miss a pass, and that's just going to happen in football. But these guys are all great, great players and continue to make unbelievable plays.
Based on all the things you've seen in practice, Welker and Moss and Jabbar and whoever else do, does anything they do on the football field on Sunday surprise you? Because I'm sure you've seen it all in practice.
Not at all. These guys all have tremendous work ethic. They go out and give 110% each and every day, and they're eager to get better, and that's the great thing about this team and how everybody works together to get better, and especially that receiving core. They're a great group of guys who continue to push themselves and challenge themselves and have a competitive nature about them that they all want to be better.
We know it's become almost a full-time job for you to keep your feet on the ground and not get caught up in Castle mania that's swirling around you, and you say you don't read the papers or listen and watch TV, and you go to goofy movies like Role Models. Did you see any movies this week, by the way?
I haven't since Role Models, but I've got to check out. I heard the new Bond movie's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. It's good, like you can turn your brain off and just sit back and watch all the chase scenes. It is
That's
fun.
What I need.
Yeah, that's what you need. What have you turned down? I mean, I know you would never turn us down. This is the highlight of your week coming on with us. But are like all the big national weekly shows calling you and you're telling them all no thanks?
There's a lot of requests to do things, but my main focus is football. And, you know, Tom was the guy that really told me this, that everybody is going to want a piece of you or want some of your time. And the number one priority is football, and everything else becomes secondary. And that's the kind of approach that I've been taking throughout the course of this season. I'm going to continue to take, and because I think everything else just kind of becomes a distraction.
Are you turning down endorsement deals? You got car dealers or
Smart Water and Movado?
I'm just turning down everything right now. You know, I just don't think that it's time to do anything like that or try to get an endorsement deal. Like I said, my only focus is football and winning games and trying to help this team get to the playoffs.
Hey, when you get ready for Sunday's game against Pittsburgh, will you still feel the effects of yesterday's game against Miami, the physical toll? Will you still feel it, or do you shake it off within a day or two?
Usually by about Wednesday, Thursday, you start to feel a lot better than what you do the day after the game or Tuesday. You know, the second day is usually always the worst, and then as the soreness starts to wear off, the soreness gets really out of your body by about Thursday.
Who moves the slowest on the second day, the big guys or the skill players? I said to Jerry earlier this morning,
the old guys.
I can't imagine Wes Welker jumped out of bed and ran downstairs and made coffee this morning.
I can't imagine he did either, to be completely honest, especially after I let him into Crowder that one play. I felt pretty terrible about that. But, you know, I think the big guys are still moving slower on these days just because of the simple fact that they're 300 pounds.
Yeah.
So we've got a little bit of advantage there when it comes to the weight.
Matt, appreciate the time. Continued success. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, guys.